Side. So welcome Love to the me. Very first. Oh. All right, let's try that again. Welcome to the very first live HR happy hour show. Typically how this works is Steve and Trish will do a show and they'll upload it. And it won't be, it's live, they don't edit it, but it will, this is a very live environment, and we're live at ACE 14, which is very exciting. Our hashtag is hashtag AACE14, so please make sure you tweet about it. I'm so pleased to have Trish and Steve here today. For those who don't know about HR Happy Hour is a weekly podcast. Razor has actually been on the show before. I think that might have been 4 years
yeah,
ago.
So way back, yeah.
So it was way back when. And they're pretty controversial. They're very fun, very provocative. It's about talent management, recruiting, recognition, engagement, social media even. Steve is the chair of the HR Technology Conference. If you have not attended the HR Technology Conference before, I highly encourage you to come this year. It's in Vegas, so definitely talk to Steve about that. And Trish used to be a very, very successful HR practitioner, but now works at Brandon Hall Group as their VP of Research in the talent management area. So make sure you talk to her afterwards also. Also, I want to institute a drinking word. So every time you hear the word HR, you must have a drink. So I'm very excited.
I heard it already. I just heard it.
To talk about HR. So let's practice.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Awesome.
So without further ado, why don't you guys take it away?
All right. Thank you, Sarah Beth. Thanks for having us. If you didn't manage to see this on the way in, and I see there's two entries and exits to this room. There's the poorer entrance over there. There's the much better one over here, which has a bar out right outside of it. So if you didn't manage to grab yourself a drink and you care for one on your way in, because it is happy hour. It's HR happy hour here at 1 o'clock.
That's right.
Please help yourself. And during the show, if you feel either so excited and you're in a party mood and you want to get another drink, go ahead, or if you think, boy, this is terrible, I need a drink to try to forget it.
It could happen.
Feel free to head out there as well. So anyway, great. My name's Steve Bowes. I'm really excited to be here. As Sarah Beth said, I'm the co-chair of the HR Technology Conference. I started the HR Happy Hour show and podcast about 5 years ago, really on a lark, right, just to have some fun engaging in a dialogue with my friends who I had met online who were in HR practitioners, technology leaders, folks who are looking to connect and find a forum to connect and share ideas and learn from each other. So we started it 5 years ago. Trish joined the show full-time, as you were. Like, it's a full-time job,
full-time hobby.
Not really your job.
Hobby.
A couple of years back. So I'll let Trish maybe tell a little bit about yourself as well.
Yeah, so I'm Trish McFarland, and as she let you know, I am an analyst now with Brandon Hall Group, which I've been doing since January, and I love it. Before that, I was an HR practitioner and leader for about 17, 18 years, right in that realm. So I've done a little bit of everything when it comes to HR. And I definitely started as a listener of HR Happy Hour. I would do it, you know, while I was at work, listen to the live casts whenever I could. And so I was thrilled when he asked me to be a part of it. It was sort of like a geekiness that goes beyond words.
Can I interrupt for a second? Sarah Beth took my wine.
Did she take your wine?
She said, I'm going to borrow this for a toast. No, she took your wine. It's fine. You're good. You're good over there. Remember that.
That's so funny. So anyway, but the show has been really helpful for us. It's a great way to network. And what we plan to do today with you, since we're not usually having a live audience in person, our live audience happens to be through the radio on the Internet, which we have a lot of callers and things like that. And hopefully, even though it's during the day today, we might get a few callers to participate. But if not, then what we'd like to do is make it as real as for you to see behind the scenes of what it goes through to do a radio show on the Internet. We do have an agenda. Of course, you saw the session description, and we'll be sort of hitting those key highlights. But if you feel like it's something where you want to be involved
oh,
or you can contribute,
I guilted you into that. Thank you.
Or you can contribute, we have an extra seat up here for you to come be a guest. And what that would mean is maybe 1 to 2 minutes. So we know sometimes people don't like to come, you know, do that. But please, please, it's much more interesting and engaging if we have people that want to come up and talk. So, again, we're going to be talking about reskilling HR, asking some questions, sharing some information, and we would love you to come participate. So if not, don't make us, like, call you out in the audience, right?
Right. I think that makes sense. Are we good? We're that? No.
We're good?
We good on that?
Any latecomers have
Steve Parker? Oh, how did I know your name, guy, in the first round?
I love Cheryl. Now, see, Cheryl knows HR, so if we need an expert, Okay, right, we'll save it for show. Okay.
So we're going to sort of move now. We did a little bit of preamble. We're going to just do the show like we normally do the show. So let's start off. So, boom. Welcome to HR Happy Hour Show. This is HR Happy Hour 190.
We're getting close to 200.
Almost getting to 200.
Almost there.
Live from Achievers Ace. It's called Reskilling Your HR Team. We're recording this live, folks, so you might catch this on the replay later or on iTunes. The show's being recorded live on Wednesday, September 10th, live from ACE in Toronto, Canada, in front of a live audience, probably the largest live audience we've ever
Isn't
had.
Isn't that great?
I think,
I love
right?
that. Probably. Yeah, we've done it before.
Give yourself
but not...
a hand, live audience.
Yeah.
Fantastic for you to be here. We've got a bar outside the room for happy hour cocktails at 1 o'clock, which I'm going to tell you what. Someone should be getting a recognition for that. I know
yes.
this is a recognition call.
Yes.
Whoever just made that call, I don't know who it was.
I think that would be Sarah Beth.
That's a plus right there. I saw Parker already left the room to go get a drink, I think. So, or he was afraid to be called on. So really excited to be here. Reskilling your HR team from the modern workplace. We really want to talk on some of the most interesting and pressing issues of the day, get your take on changes in the modern workplace, what you can do, what you are doing. Maybe some of you want to share your stories, what you are already doing as an HR professional to prepare your workplace, your workforces, and quite frankly, yourself, right, for the changes that are happening in the modern workplace. That's what we have in mind today.
That's right.
Right. That sounds
That's right.
reasonable?
Let's hit it.
For folks at home who are listening, of course, the call-in number, I'll give it out
give
a couple
out.
Of times. For those brave folks, I hope we do get a call,
I hope
though,
we get callers.
Just to see how that,
yeah,
that works
need,
with the room. But our call-in number... 646-378-1086. Press 1 on your phone to come on the HR Happy Hour Show.
Yeah. Well, you know what is also interesting? Not only do we have an audience, but we're usually not together. I'm usually calling in from St. Louis. I was saying the last show we did together was at my son's football practice, so that's how much I love HR. But it's good. So when you have a radio show, you can actually do that. So he's in New York, I'm in St. Louis, and we can call in and we can talk.
But what's not different is I have a Bud Light while we're doing the show. That is.
I think that's true.
I've maintained that pretty
tea.
Consistently throughout,
yeah.
the,
exactly.
throughout the experience. So let's talk about how work is changing. Trish, this is your game. HR.
It is.
Well,
you know.
I said HR again.
Oh,
I probably said it 17
social,
other
right?
times.
You said
Come
HR,
on, everyone.
Cheers, right? No, I think, I think it is changing. I mean, I was interested when we were asked to talk about the topic because, I mean, for myself, being an HR leader and working in hardcore in the trenches HR for so long, I think my goal always in life had been to be an HR vice president, right, or a CHRO or something along those lines and to head up a team, in which I reached that point. But I started seeing things in the market changing, and as work has changed and opportunities have changed, I never would have thought, like, oh, I want to be an HR technology analyst. But I feel like there's been such a movement, especially in these last 5 years, with the changes in technology that we use on a personal level, that it's starting to really come into play in work, right? And we've heard a lot here at the Achievers ACE event about how you're incorporating technology into the workplace to really become part of the everyday sort of fabric that your employees are dealing with. And so for me, it just made sense, right? As the work is changing, being able to work from home is something I can do now. And years before, working in HR, that was something that wasn't possible. So, I mean, what about for you? You've had some changes with work over the years. And
yeah, I think I'd agree with a lot of that. I too, had a goal in mind years ago.
Which was what?
I sadly did not reach it. I wanted to be a relief pitcher for the Mets. And because I wrote about this week on Fistful of Talent, by the way. So I'm a contributor to a blog called Fistful of Talent. Maybe one person has seen. There you go, Fistful of Talent reader.
One
Shout
reader.
Out to you. But I wrote about this a little bit this week, about chasing your dreams and your goals, and that's just terrible, terrible advice, right? Because otherwise I'd still be trying to make the team, right, trying to get on
right,
to the Mets
yeah.
team. But a little bit, if you want to talk about background a little bit and sort of what led me to this, and I think it's important to consider, I was a finance and accounting guy. Do we have any finance and accounting people in the room?
Oh, a couple.
Sorry. Finance and accounting. So I'm sort of that story as well, right? I was finance and accounting, moved into technology, and I spent a lot of time running around the world, literally running around the world, implementing accounts payable systems. So if you think, like, sort of some of
that
the administration. Yeah, that's what I mean. If you think some of the administration.
No, I love payroll. I love payroll.
Yeah.
I do.
talk about non-differentiator.
Right.
So forget about being boring, whatever, and I'm sorry for the accounting people who think, the debits and the credits are some exciting breakthrough. One thing has to equal another. That's some incredible breakthrough. We have to give credit for that
right.
for, like, thousands of years. to that Italian guy who invented that.
Exactly.
Still getting props for that?
Absolutely.
It's like the apple falling out of the tree. Like, we didn't know that for a million years, things fall down. Just one guy wrote it down. No one got all the credit for it.
That's how it works.
All right, I'm off topic.
All right, you're good. Get back on topic.
Yeah, so accounting finance. But non-differentiator, right? Have you ever gone to work for a company because of that, you know, that tight accounts payable process, right? And those killer, you know, accounts payable or fixed assets accounts. Man, we nailed depreciation this month. High fives all around, right? And God bless those folks. They do great work, great and important work. But no one goes to work for a company because of how well they do their accounting. They might lose their jobs if they don't do the accounting the right way. But no one goes there. And people who are working in those jobs, those administrators, you know, again, bless their hearts, right? But it wasn't really for me. I felt like in my role, I wasn't helping organizations really do anything transformative, do anything to improve the sort of the quality of their products and services that they were delivering. And then even more importantly, and I think this jives in really well with the message here we've heard the last couple of days at ACE, is to help people get more out of their work lives. Right, and
right.
You can't do that in accounts payable. You just can't. So I made that move to get involved in human resources technology systems for some of those reasons. Right, I felt like systems that we implemented to help people help plan their career, to provide them meaningful training opportunities, to help them, you know, navigate some of the things that we call administration.
You're changing the world.
But it's really important, right? If you're a guy out there working hard, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, two kids or triplets or something, and you're very concerned about the benefits for them, and the HR, the great people in HR who help that employee navigate sometimes those really tricky and tumultuous and sometimes traumatic kinds of interactions, that's really, really important, and I think pretty meaningful. And again, that's what we get criticized for,
right? So when you're an HR leader, that's the thing, right? We're constantly being told we have to be more strategic and come up with different strategies for different things.
I don't know what that means.
Dinged for being administrative, right? But those are the very, you're just sitting here saying those are the important things. As an employee, that's part of what's very important.
Oh, yeah.
Is having the benefits and knowing. And I can tell you from being someone who's had to go out and create a benefit strategy, you know, people can say all day long that it's tactical, but it really is strategic. And we really do put a lot of thought into thinking about how do you get people what they need to care for their families, to care for themselves, to stay with the company.
Yeah, no,
I mean, these are the things that you go through.
This isn't the benefits show, but I could make it that. I think that's really underrated, right, in terms of the average employee's interaction, and maybe less so in Canada, I don't know. I like Canada, by the way. I like coming up here. I live in Rochester, New York. Anyone from Rochester?
Isn't that like you live in Canada anyway?
Just across the lake, right? I'm just across the lake. I actually flew here, right? It was like 20
minutes.
Dual
citizenship?
No, I don't. Dual citizenship, that doesn't even make any sense, by the way. That is an invented thing.
All right.
We have to talk about that. But I love Canada. You know, I miss everything about it. You know, I miss blackberries, so I get to see those again when I come up here.
We have blackberries in America.
Yeah, we did. I was a blackberry guy for forever. So I'm with you.
Oh, I thought you meant like blackberries.
The phones. And you come up here and you go.
You see, now that's archaic, really?
Yeah.
Those, see, I really went with the fruit, not the
technology. You go
have a drink and,
you need
okay.
to.
All
so
right.
benefits, what was I talking about? Benefits. I spent an hour on the importance of benefits, but I think, I think you're right, Trish. So I think, you know, folks in this room probably, right, maybe you've been admonished or maybe you're doing the admonishing, and maybe there's folks here who've talked about this. You need to be more strategic. And I sort of made a joke, like, I don't really know what that means. And then I still don't really know what that means. And I think it's kind of easy to fall back on that and just kind of diminish or devalue or...
I think it devalues.
Can I think of another word that means the same thing, just to say another word that means the same thing?
No.
All right, diminish. The important work that folks are doing in areas like benefits and helping, it's not just helping employees sort of navigate an administrative transaction, you're helping them manage their lives, which I think is really profoundly important.
Well, I think it's important, but you're right about the word strategy, right? Because we've all been hearing this for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, that this is what we as leaders need to be doing, this is what we need to be having our teams doing, is getting more strategic. I think that doesn't really tell you what to do step by step, into getting there, right? And so what I am hearing more of lately, at least when I've been out at different events and speaking and talking with HR leaders and just even people maybe more junior or mid-level in their career, is what are the exact steps you need to take? What do I need to learn? And that's when we're starting to see a shift, I think, from just telling HR people you need to be more strategic to you really need to make sure you're strong in marketing. Or if you're not strong in finance, which we know your feelings on finance clearly, but for us, right, so I will tell you, I grew up in PricewaterhouseCoopers and from a lot of my career.
Ooh, name dropper.
Name dropper, but I think it doesn't matter, big four public accounting, and finance was just baked in, right? So we knew in HR there was always the financial component. And so when I got out of big four public accounting and went and did HR somewhere else, I was mortified that when I went and asked for my first trip, could I have, you know, the financials for my offices? I was going to visit like six offices in D.C., and they said, we don't give that to HR. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding? Like, this is a joke, right? But I think that's what we see in a lot of companies. It's like you keep HR kind of in this box, and finance is in this box, and marketing is over here. And so what I think needs to happen, and what I'm starting to see happen, is that there's more of a blending, right? So it's not about being strategic, because I would argue that we've been strategic. I've been strategic. You've all been strategic in your roles in human resources in whatever capacity. We don't need to get more strategic. We just maybe need to figure out where those gaps are and get a little stronger in those particular areas.
Yeah, so we want to talk about some of those areas here in the next couple of minutes. Take a quick listen to the radio show. Here's the part where, like, if you're the owner of, like, a chain of furniture stores or a moving company and you're interested in advertising on internet, radio, podcasting, here's where your ad would play right now. So absent that, I'll just say, this is HR Happy Hour 190. My name is Steve Bose, Trish McFarland, of course, with
That's
me
right.
live at Achievers 8.
Achievers 8.
15 minutes into the show, the live show. Technical guys in the background. Fantastic job, by the way.
Hand
to those guys.
Because
we were running without a net like 5 minutes before the show, and the only thing that saved me from utter panic really literally was the bar opened, right? Because it was dicey there for
a
minute. So, hey, anybody catching this live in the live stream, 646-378-1086. Love to take a call or two and just give your thoughts on what's happening in HR. Maybe just give a shout out and say hello to your friends at Achievers that might be here in Toronto. So,
anyone want to come up and be a guest?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's
see if we can
talk about what we're doing.
Strategic HR.
All right, we got it. We've got our first guest.
So here's what we're going to do. That is for you.
All right,
that is Sarah Breath bought that for you.
We're just all the guests share the one glass of wine, right?
All right. So for audio listeners, are we on here on the handheld? Okay.
Okay.
Let's introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what
you're
all about.
Sure. I'm Cheryl Kerrigan. I'm the vice president.
Not yet?
Oh,
somebody turned it off. Somebody
that would be
it.
Steve.
Here we go.
Somebody. That was a good way to say it. You turned it off.
We'll all right. You're good.
Hi, everyone in the room and on the line. I'm Cheryl Kerrigan, and I'm the Vice President of Employee Success here at Achievers. So I've spent over 15 years in HR, and I've been with Achievers for the last 18 months. Really interested in your show. I think you guys are great. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, that's my favorite guest of all time.
That was great. We did a sound right of that. That was lovely.
Have you been heard? Okay, so I got off of my rant about strategic, I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. You've been an HR leader. You're HR leader now. You've been one for a while, it sounds like. I mean, what do you sit on? Oh, HR needs to be more strategic. What's your take?
You know what? I think it's a buzzword almost. It's like, oh, let's think about HR and and I don't know where it comes from, whether it's CEOs that aren't sure of what an HR strategy actually looks like or if they're thinking that there's some magical formula by saying strategy that it will cure all, you know, of the issues that we face on a daily basis. So I really think that for me, when I think of strategy, I go right to where the business is going, always, from an HR perspective. So if you don't understand your business, the HR strategy that might have worked for a previous company will not work at this company. So my strategy is really figuring out what the business goals are and aligning HR programs and practices behind that.
Now, what have you done in your career? I mean, you've been doing HR for a while. Have you had to make or think about certain steps to sort of upskill yourself as you've gone along, or what's been helpful in terms of doing that?
Sure. I think it's really keeping on I've always worked for technology companies, so those are very quick evolving type of companies, and if you don't stay on top of your game about where they're going, then you'll be left behind. So I think just really keeping up with You know, employee engagement, we talk about it a lot. We've been talking about it for the last 2 days here, but I think that really looking at how to continually motivate, inspire employees is really about how you stay on top of your game. So, again, the one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work.
Has that changed for you, though, just the way you think about it in the last, I don't know?
Oh,
you're,
yeah.
Cheryl, you look quite young, so I won't say the last 10 years, but in the last so many years when you've been doing on this work, has what the drivers of things like engagement, the drivers of things like that help employees sort of live their best work lives and things like that, has that changed for you from your perspective over the last few years?
Yeah, I think, you know what, definitely over the last, I'd say, 5 years, there's been a real shift. And what I'm noticing is that we're talking about culture a lot more than we ever did. So to your point earlier, you know, almost the table stakes right now, the benefits programs, the onboarding programs, how to have an employer brand so you're attracting great talent, that's table stakes. If you don't have that, then I don't know what you're doing in HR, but where it's really going is that there's definitely more of a culture focus and making sure that those people that you're bringing in really are living your culture and really are your employee brand, essentially. So
yeah.
I think that that's been a big shift in the past 5 years.
I think so, too, but it's all interesting how for some companies it's really hard to define their culture, or when they really kind of examine it, they don't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they see that that's why people are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any recommendations? I mean, obviously you've worked in several different organizations. What recommendations do you have in terms of, like, if your culture really isn't a good one and you see you've got a lot of high turnover, what kind of things have you seen that work to do to sort of rectify that?
I think it really starts with the leaders. It really is a reflection, and if you don't have the right leaders in the organization and if they don't believe that in the culture, then there's a huge problem. So getting alignment at the top, you know, we've heard in the past 2 days that it can't be necessarily a grassroots issue because it will never – you heard Brian Pearson speaking about that. Like, that's a super engaged CEO, so if you're lucky enough to have one of those, it's fantastic. But then you need to find champions. If not your CEO, then maybe it's, I don't know, your head of sales, or you start to, like, look at a pocket of the organization and impact it that way.
All right, I'm gonna push back a little
okay.
on both you guys, and I'm a little outnumbered here. I'm in the middle. I'm going to fall back on my accounting background to try to keep this in balance. So, I'm interested in culture, kind of, but I'm also worried about it. Oh, no, here's to you. I'm going tomorrow to present at another event, and I'll not to just prop up my session a little bit, but I'm going to tell you just a little bit what the idea of the session is. So you've heard culture eats strategy for breakfast, right? Everybody's heard that. Everybody agree with that? Culture eats strategy for breakfast? Do we agree with that? Mostly, a lot of nods.
Anyone heard it?
Get another drink, you're fine, then you'll nod. But so Peter Drucker, right, came up with that phrase years ago, and so it gets repeated a lot. And I've heard it so many times, I thought, like when you hear something so many times and repeated so many times, I thought, this can't possibly be true, right? So I thought about it a little bit more, and so my theory, what I'm going to talk about tomorrow is, while it's important, it doesn't eat strategy, and it doesn't eat talent. It's kind of like rock, paper, scissors, right? Culture, strategy, talent. That's the presentation. And here, in part of that presentation, I'm going to talk about the dangers of just falling back on the culture argument all the time. And part of it is sort of culture starts with the word cult, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it some, think about what's happening in tech, right? Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, they've all recently and widely publicized, reported their workforce diversity figures on gender and racial lines, and it turns out everybody at Google kind of looks the same, right, in Facebook and a million other companies you could talk about. And it's not just tech. It's in financial services as well, right? It's quite frankly in HR, right? HR is 75% female, right? HR kind of looks like each other, too. So my sort of question or just...
As you're sitting between people that kind of look like...
Right, I mean, come on. Who's the non-HR guy? It's obvious.
Are we just proving your point right now?
Who's the guy
I think
who
we might
up,
have.
Who's the other two credits and who came up in HR? So, I mean, how do you... All right, so that was a long way of saying...
Whoa.
How do you protect an organization from that, from saying, you know, from hiring too many people who are just like the ones already here?
I've heard the same argument, and I think that's a great point.
Great
I don't
point.
Think
none of my favorite guys.
No, here's the
disagree with me.
But let me tell you why I don't actually believe what you just said. I think that your culture.
You don't believe that I said it or that
no,
it's true.
I don't agree with
you. All right, very good.
We need her on the show every week.
You're killing me. That's
every
fine.
Week.
But I wanted you to push back, so go ahead.
Yeah, I think that by defining your culture, you're not being exclusive. You're being inclusive. And that's it's really an important point to make is that it's not – when you said cult, you think of – negative connotation. But why?
Mostly. Depends
mostly.
On the call.
Well, it depends, right?
Yeah.
But why you really put a lot of emphasis on culture is that you don't – I hate when HR has to police anything. So I really want to define the playbook and give people the opportunity to really decide whether this is for them. Like there, it's just like in the outside world. Like there's places that you go that you really feel a part of, and then you choose not to go to other places. So I think it's really important to define what your culture is, and employees are going to be happy if they're with like-minded individuals. You don't have to look like each other, but again, like-minded individuals.
Well, there's some comfort in that. I mean, going back to the early part of my career, which I won't name drop again, but there was something to be said for that, and I think it builds loyalty, and you feel camaraderie with people who are all, like in that case, you know, working in public accounting, you are typically very driven. You're someone that's gone all the way through school trying to always make A's. I mean, it's these things, and so when you get around a bunch of other people, and I tell you, we had a very diverse workforce, but everybody had that same sort of mindset and the same goals, and we all bought into the same vision. And this was really bad. They used to, and I know that you hear this all the time too, but they used to say, oh, we only hire the best and the brightest, right? And I remember when I went through a big layoff, they laid off about 220 HR leaders after I was there maybe 8 years
wow.
or so. And,
a lot of the best and the brightest.
A lot of the best and the brightest went
right.
But we know that was an environment where there was constantly on the finance and accounting side turnover all the time like that, right? And so it had been a long time since we had sort of an HR thing. But when I went and interviewed for my next role at a PR firm, and at the end of the interview, and the CHRO told me we only hire the best and the brightest, and it just popped out of my mouth. This, if anybody knows me, this is me, and I'm like, really? Well, I thought that's what PwC did, and it was like. But, that's that same kind of thing. I think you try, even in an interview, they're trying to build the culture around you to see, do you fit? Are you, that's it, right?
Yeah, well, that's great, and that's another point. I hate to say this again, Cheryl. It's another point I'm going to talk about tomorrow in my presentation, that we all say the same thing. Every company says the same thing.
Right.
We hire A players, we hire the best of the best, and so on and so forth, and that's great. Right?
But if you believe it becomes the reality of that company.
Yeah.
That is true. And then the employees really believe it. And you use the word inclusive. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. You feel included and wanted and needed. And I think the minute that employees don't feel that they are wanted and needed and valuable, they're going to go.
I agree with most of what you said. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to mend fences.
You're doing
mend fences. I do agree. It's not that I don't agree with it. What I disagree with or what I'm worried about is we focus on that at the expense of other important things too.
But
like,
do you think
like talent and like strategy?
Yeah, but we've spent years focusing on talent. Why not culture now? Why not pick the part that we've really been not focused on?
You've got to come to Washington and hear me talk about this tomorrow then.
I would just argue with you, I think, in the presentation. I'd be in the back of the room like...
No, that makes sense. Hey, let's just everybody take a breath, can we, please?
Take a breath.
Or for me, this is the HR Happy Hour show.
He said HR.
190. I said HR. I said HR many times. Is the bar still out there? Can anyone look? Get another drink. Please get another drink. Bring one for me, too. HR Happy Hour 190, live from Toronto, from Achievers ACE event. Cheryl, what's your last name, Cheryl?
Kerrigan.
Cheryl Kerrigan came up, our first guest, broke the ice, mm-hmm. came up to join us.
Yeah.
Vice President of People Success, did I get the title right?
Employee
Success. I think I like people success better. Can we make...
Sure.
I mean,
you
we're going to do the non-standard title.
Right. So now you're writing job titles?
I feel like it sounds better.
Job titles live.
That would be
You
good.
Could have a booth.
You know, I think on one...
After the show, he'll be outside if you need a new job title. Steve will hook you up.
Hey, that's pretty cool, invent your own job title, though. I think that's a good idea. So
all
cool.
Right, we'll save
Cheryl,
that
you
want
to hang out some more? You want to get some... Why don't you know a lot of folks in here. Why don't you sort of put someone else on the hot seat? Because quite frankly, you got thrown under the bus.
I see someone hiding over there.
So let's see if you can, like...
Yep. Come on up, Kate Pope. Yep. Come on.
Oh, people are shy. They're going to get goaded up there.
Yes, I like the encouragement.
Thank you, Cheryl, very much. That's awesome.
I love the encouragement.
So, I think she's doing it, or she's either
hiding or...
She's either trying to hide or She's going to come up. This is awesome. I love live radio.
I love this.
This
we
is
need
fantastic.
To do this more.
I would love to do this again somewhere.
Oh, yeah, she's
got
to bring
it. She's got her drink. Outstanding. She's prepared.
Hello, Kate Pope.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Welcome
so
to the show.
So tell us who you are, where you're from,
you
what you're all
on
about.
This TV show?
It's radio,
radio.
So yes, you can. I love your glasses,
thank
by the way.
Yeah, but we are on
live. Oh, yeah, we are on live
as
well.
Right, today
yeah.
It's all. We are everywhere.
It's really between you, your conscience,
yeah.
potentially your employer. So
well,
go
I was
right
gonna
ahead.
Say, like, that's karma right there. That's
yeah.
the big karma's a bitch.
Yeah, it is. So who am I sitting next to?
My name is Kate, last name Pope, and I'm the Employee Success Business Partner at Achievers.
Employee Success, sort of. Possibly people success business partner
yeah.
might work better.
Really, it's whatever works for you.
All right,
yeah.
all right. I love that. I feel like, and I'm gonna let you talk, and Kate, in a second. I feel like this is kind of like Cheryl throwing Kate under the bus.
Yeah.
Like, do you work for Cheryl?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
All right.
You know what though? We're
for
gonna make
the
Kate
next
shine.
Foreseeable few hours. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, let's go, Kate. Let's have it. What's your story?
Oh, story. Okay. So I've been with Achievers for 3.5 years. I started with them as their recruiter. Saw them through the
wow,
growth.
Wow, that's early days for Achievers, right? Or reasonably early days, right?
Well, yeah, they're 10, 12 years now.
All right, so I'm completely wrong about that.
Correct.
So good,
yeah.
good.
I was around employee 70, so it'd be at 260 now. It's
wow.
kind of a fun journey.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that
yeah.
little bit. Like,
isn't that, see?
You know what your number is? Does everybody here who works for Achievers know their number, probably? Who's the lowest number here? Anybody lower than 70?
Rob's the lowest number.
Two?
What's your number?
Two?
Too.
So you were the, after they hired you, then they had someone to clean up
right
and
yeah.
park the cars. Yeah, with him. Okay, awesome. So we got employee number two here. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kate. I've interrupted you 7 times.
Yeah,
in 90 seconds.
No, that's fine.
That's the hallmark of a great interview,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So and then I moved into managing the HR team.
Right.
So myself, Cheryl, and then there's three lovely HR journalists that work with us.
Right.
So yeah, it's fantastic.
What's great about working here?
At Achievers, that. So I don't have not really ever done big business. I did it for the first maybe year or two of my career.
So don't tell the CEO you're not doing big business here.
No, it's the difference when you
he
get
might
to build.
Think that. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
that's the fun part is yeah. that's what I'm enjoying the most with working with them is
gotta
that we get
pretty,
to do a lot of new
great.
Stuff all the
are
time.
Are you based up here in Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what about, so you've been here for a while. Do you find mm-hmm. that you're having to think about kind of that next step, or how do you
mm-hmm.
keep yourself?
I'm recruiting her away from you right now. Did you see
no,
that?
No.
Next step. You want to come over
and
yeah.
her yeah. within Achievers? No, but seriously, like, okay, so when you've been in an organization for a while, I mean, take it broader for the audience,
mm-hmm.
what types of things are you thinking about in terms of educating yourself or, you know, training yourself over the next,
that's
you know,
really
two, three,
question.
4 years? Is that something that's even comes to mind or?
So I moved into the business partner role 4 months ago, Cheryl. So to that point, that was exactly it. I mm-hmm. started as a recruiter and then managed the recruitment team and then started poking at Cheryl being like, something next, you know, let's
okay.
start talking about next opportunities.
And
go over to the
can you do
partner.
That? Is that a conversation you can have and say, yeah, I'm and not get
me personally,
not get
yeah,
the stink
eye, yeah,
you know, back
for
from
sure.
Yeah, but I think sometimes you can't.
I know. I've never been able to.
That's a problem.
For
that's why
sure.
I've had like 19 jobs in the last
oh
12
God.
Years.
Maybe you need some job coaching.
I was gonna say why?
Hey, do you do job coaching?
Not necessary. It depends.
I'll test those business partner skills.
Okay,
quite frankly,
okay.
If I come into the office,
I'll come to Washington
yeah.
tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a big switch, right? Moving from recruiting and then into an HR role where you're doing HR business
yeah.
partner role too, which is also kind of a new and evolving role.
Absolutely.
So,
and I think that what's been the allowing the easy transition in many ways is because when you've hired the majority of the employees that work at the organization, you're that much more invested in them staying.
Oh, that's
so you're excited about keeping them on board, and that's kind of been my driver and almost why I started to almost fray away from the recruitment team was doing an awesome job, and I was just kind of helping Cheryl as we built up more programs
mm-hmm.
And realized that that was kind of a new keen focus for me. So
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that would be a good step for people to do the recruiting earlier in their career, at least. If not,
yeah.
you know, if they're not going to stay in it, at least they would understand.
Yeah, we're talking about sort of
the,
you know, reskilling and maybe in some examples, like sort of broadening the skill set of HR as part
mm-hmm.
of the theme of this session. I mean, would you say as an HR pro or HR recruiting pro went to HR?
Yeah.
I have friends, right, that tell me every HR person needs to spend time in recruiting. Well,
sure.
Would you say that?
Oh,
a
absolutely.
Fair statement?
I think if you don't know who you're hiring or why you're hiring in all your various different departments, you're missing the point of what the business is doing because it's a, when you acquire that talent, you have an
yeah.
idea of
mm-hmm.
where they're going. And more so,
you can't really acquire the right talent if you don't understand the department, so, and how they're looking to grow,
right,
and what their plans are. So I think that helps tremendously.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a sales game, too. One of the things,
mm-hmm,
we wanted to talk about is, like, sort of marketing and sales and sort of
mm-hmm.
with HR, and I mean, and for recruiters, right? It's
huge sales
what
game.
Is it 50% sales and 50% marketing and 50% something
yeah.
else?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's definitely, I don't know, 50%. I mean, it depends on the sales side of things. I think you need to have a really strong marketing, like your employee, you know, your EVP and your value prop. But I don't, I think once you get on the phone, you have to do exactly as Cheryl was talking about it. They're not connecting to what you're not necessarily selling, but talking about, and if you're, how transparent you are as a business, your values and what your mission is and what you're looking to achieve as an organization. So you're kind of spitting that out. I mean, you might sound a bit salesy
right.
on the phone, but then it's a matter of hooking them and instantly knowing if they're interested, then you can kind of assess them a little bit deeper. But, yeah, definitely you do have your elevator pitch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
How close do you think
pitch.
Recruiters need to be with the actual marketing team? Do you feel like that's important or not as important in a career in recruiting? Because I've worked both ways. I've worked where recruiting was really sort of a separate animal, even sometimes separate from HR, so to speak,
yeah.
in some organizations as part of and sometimes pulled out. But I've also worked in organizations where recruiting and marketing worked hand in hand because of the need to have that consistent messaging. Where do you kind of land on
We're
that?
We're noticing it more and more on a social media front. That so
that's
recruiting, if they're not spending enough time together, that's where we're running into not necessarily an issue, but we could really band together and get stronger.
Oh, that's interesting.
I found with Achievers what was in some ways more beneficial for me was spending time with anyone who had contact with our clients, because
mm-hmm.
then we could actually talk about what our software did and how it was impacting, and because that's what attracted candidates, when they felt like your business was doing something and had an impact in other
yeah.
organizations.
Yeah.
So that was really beneficial, I mean, for me individually as I was trying to, you know, find the right talent. But I think if you can talk about your software's impact or your product's impact, mm-hmm. it really helps.
Yeah, and it's an advantage, too. We've talked about this on the show before. Like, sometimes it's different when, like, you worked at a hospital for a long time,
mm-hmm.
right? Children's hospital. It's pretty easy to sell that mission. I think it's fairly easy to sell the mission that you guys are doing, too.
Right.
It's, you know, I worked at, like, a PVC pipe manufacturing plant for a while. And
you've had great jobs.
A tougher mission to sell. But, honestly, that's when I started thinking about, like, people and the impact on people's lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the guys who worked on the factory were,
mm-hmm.
you know, real people with real lives. And look, there's a lot of impact you can have in HR. It doesn't matter what
yeah.
you're making or selling. But my point is I think it helps, right? It helps to say
it's
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it's hard to go against, whoa, yeah.
working
solving
in
cancer
a,
for
working
children.
Working in a children's hospital. Well, you
I'm
know
about fired up by that.
A lot of times, though, we would have people say, especially nurses, they want, obviously they love nursing and all that, but they didn't want to do it with children because they thought it was so
mm-hmm.
much harder, so much
mm-hmm.
sadder, so
mm-hmm.
like if something happens, if, you know. And really, it's the opposite. You would go into the hospital, and you'd see.
I was gonna say, it's about a bit of a downer here for happy hour.
No, the exact opposite. It was like I could go into work and be having the worst day. You think, imagine your worst day you could possibly have, and then you see a child, you know, who's got his IV on the pole, and he's running around the hospital
mm-hmm.
smiling, and
yeah.
and it's like, okay, maybe I don't have it that bad.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
So yeah, it's. But yeah, it was definitely sometimes even a hard sell.
What else for Kate before we let her off the hot seat? Do we want to like. Hit her one more, or?
Let's let her off.
All right, Kate, great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think so.
Can we have a
I would like to get a little outside achievement
yeah,
perspective. If we could. Someone's fleeing the room. I hope you're going to get a drink.
She's an achiever.
Young lady.
Oh.
So I'll take one, though, on your way back, please. Thank you.
Who can get their hand up fast?
Come on, let's go. I want to hit somebody up. Let's go.
Yeah.
That was a half
somebody
party. Can. All right, ma'am, you'll
we'll
be next.
We'll
get you up
two.
Next. Gentlemen, come up because we need to get. I feel like you're going to agree with me.
Right?
Hand him the microphone, Mark. How are you, Mark?
I need a little beer.
Yeah, can we get. What would you like, Mark? We'll get it for you.
Might as well stick with Molson.
Molson, can we get a Molson and a Bud Light up here, please?
There you go.
This is awesome. We need to do this for the show every
Wouldn't
single
that be great?
Week. Beer on demand, gas,
I love it.
Bright lights.
I love this. It's
Mark,
it's good.
Tell us who you are, what you're all about, what brought you here, and your biggest regret in life, because it might be what you're about to do in the next 3 minutes. Go ahead.
So I'll start with my biggest regret.
Oh.
Not this.
Oh, good. Thank you. Not yet.
It was not playing baseball when I was growing up, because
oh.
I wanted to play for the Red Sox.
Okay.
Oh.
So you're a Red Sox fan, I'm assuming now.
Absolutely.
So a guy
I'm going to
name drop.
I'm
name dropping.
Yeah.
A guy who's, I'd say, a loose friend of mine. I'll say, for the purposes of him not hearing this, probably which he won't, a really good friend of mine is the guy who runs HR for the Boston Red Sox. Really, really nice guy, Son Present.
You could hook him up.
I can make that introduction.
Make an introduction.
Do you live in the Massachusetts area, Boston?
I do. Live about 10 minutes
away
from the city.
All right, so let's make sure you get a card exchange happening. We will make that connection.
I hope my boss is not listening.
Name drop.
Don't say what company you're with.
No.
I will.
I'm diverting a little from Mark's story, which I'm sure is going to be fascinating here in a second, but the Red Sox story was interesting as well. They're doing a big part of culture as well, right? That's all customer service. And they were talking about, how do they hire 600 or 800 people to be the on-field and, in the stands kind of support staff for the season.
It's really hard because people don't really like them.
Oh, it's a fascinating. No, it's hard because, thousands and thousands of people think they want to work for the Red Sox, but like many, popular organizations and highly sought-after jobs, many, if not almost all of them, are not really right for the role, right? It's a very high hands-on customer service role. They're delivering their sort of brand message to the customers every single day, day after day after day. So it was a really challenging story that he shared with us that day.
To go along with that, little aside, I work part-time for L.L. Bean. So they asked me, they had Maine Day, and they asked me to be the L.L. Bear mascot at Fenway. Talk about customer service.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sweating bullets on July 6th, the heat, but you had to be
so besides
right
wearing
on.
Bear costumes, Mark, tell us what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for the bear.
That is fantastic.
I work for a company called World Travel Holdings. We're based out of Boston, Massachusetts. About 95% of our business is cruise sales. The other 5 is all land. We sell villas as well, from anywhere from 2 rooms up to about 40 rooms. I could name drop on a couple different people who we've sold villas to. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Nice.
Goes to Italy every year with her Matthew Broderick. So they come through us.
Very nice.
For it. So high clientele. I've been with the company for over 10 years. Started in sales.
All right.
Went to accounting.
All right. Hey, there you go. Simpatico. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
No.
Now listen. So that's a good segue though in about what we're talking about.
Right.
So you've worked in sales. You've worked in accounting. Now you're in HR.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did you do in terms of skills? Those are very different departments to work in. Did you do anything specific when you were trying to sort of get into that next department, or how did that work?
It's all about networking and knowing that I go into my job every day, do the best I can, and it's all about perception.
Was it more about the relationships than
Absolutely.
The specific skills?
Yeah. I mean, my boss to this day says, we took a chance on you. You had no HR experience.
I say that to my son. Oh, chance on you, kid.
Yep.
Come on now.
One of the greatest things I think that our company does with onboarding is we have every new hire listen to phone calls, sit with an agent and listen. Because, how are we going to sell or know what we're selling for a cruise if we don't know our clientele?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's one of
cool.
the biggest
things.
That's
from day one. So that's part of the culture then.
It's part of the culture.
To get you completely ingrained.
It's usually in the second or third week.
Okay.
They sit with them for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just listen to calls. It's amazing how many people actually want to still talk to a travel agent and not book online. It's people that need reassurance that they're doing the
definitely,
right thing.
Definitely.
Right. Well, it can be overwhelming. Right. Yeah. It can be overwhelming. You can feel like there's so much fine print sometimes. So I can see why people would still want that personal touch. That's the other thing. When you go to the grocery store and they've got the self-checkout lanes, and I'm someone, I really don't want a relationship with my grocery clerk anymore, so I'm happy to just check myself out. But if you ask my dad, oh, my gosh, he's completely offended if they try and steer him. So it's sort of that same experience, right? You have
Absolutely.
People that really want that personal touch. So how about the rest of the organization? I mean, in terms of when you move into these other departments, still keep the same philosophy. The same philosophy
I do want to, just as an aside, though, I don't really want to have a personal relationship with my grocery store person either.
Some people do.
Well, I've spent a lot of time developing my relationship with my butcher. That is a much more important relationship.
Because you like to barbecue.
I do.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. If you come to Rochester, if anybody comes
though?
To visit me in
it's
Rochester,
the same,
take you out for some
it's
barbecue.
It's the same in banking. It's the same in a lot of professions, right? Where
this
you
is
have
not
an
part
option.
Of the show, and Mark didn't come up here to sort of tell us this, but I feel like I'm thinking about those.
Okay.
right? Technology, one of the transformations and one of the things that requires the sort of upskilling or reskilling of not just HR people but all people, right, is that increasing importance of technology and advanced technologies on work and workplaces, right? So as technology is starting to, as you said, right, and many and lots, a lot of the travel industry has been automated away, right,
yep.
from traditional travel agency work. You guys are doing something of really high touch, high personalized service, it sounds like,
yep.
high value add, which has enabled you to survive and not just survive, but it sounds like doing pretty well, right? That's where the value is, right? If you're doing, I had it in the show notes, apropos of almost nothing, but I had it in here. It says, I'll read it. It says, in the age of Google and IBM Watson, companies won't really have much need for folks who are good at just remembering things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If that's what you say, and every office kind of has that for a long time. I had it in HR for a while. I've worked in a couple places where, like, well, you went to that person because she or he just remembered everything. Remembering something is not really such a big deal anymore, right? Because if we don't know something, it's almost, no matter what it is, it's instantly findable and discoverable, right?
Right.
What's not known, right? Only what, the only thing that's not really sort of known already is the next thing I'm going to create. So the folks who create those things, right, they'll still have lots of value and lots of opportunities. Folks who are only going to be able to sort of remember the things that happened and maybe organize them a little
though.
Bit.
That's interesting, though. I mean, I see what
this,
you're
where
pointed,
they, but where it's going to happen to them.
But I almost feel like isn't that a big concern from an HR standpoint and from a senior leadership standpoint is losing people who are maybe, you know, baby boomers who are just now hitting retirement, and you're losing all that knowledge. So I guess the
yeah.
real thing is, though, that's
yeah,
great
if you have
technology in place and if you have all that capture, but I think that's the shortage, right, is that we've got all this knowledge when we are part of an organization, but if there's no way that organization has captured it, it's gone out the
yeah,
door.
Yeah, Mark's come up here. Now we're in talking about, like,
I
sort
know.
Of Google and IBM Watson. Have you changed your stance on the biggest regret already?
No.
Still? You're still good?
No, I'm still
right.
good.
It's not coming
you guys
up here?
Haven't scared me too much.
I'm going to tell you what, though. We could probably if we kept this up for a while.
Yeah.
Mark, just real quick, and then we'll get our next willing guest who wants to come up and probably tell you about, like, why the Yankees are great and the Red Sox are terrible. Tell us what you're doing here. Like, what are you doing here at the event, and tell us about your experience here at the event.
So this is my third year at Achievers. Most of you know me that are Achievers for one reason or another.
I like it. He's popular, and he's not ashamed to tell you how special he is.
Yes.
Remember we all learned
that,
right, yesterday in the MGM
that.
Session? He is special.
I am
he's
a big deal.
Hey, baby.
He
go.
Is a big deal. I like
I
it.
I love to say it. I'm modest, very, very modest. So, you know, coming to Achievers, the conferences, it's great. I mean, you guys do so much innovative things that take it to the next level. I mean, to be able to send an email to recognize someone instead of going into the platform,
it's
going to make,
right?
it's
gonna
make
That's
things.
Cool. I know, because
I said
we're so
yesterday.
Short term now. You have to make one extra tap on your phone, you know, like, oh my God, I got to tap one more thing. Like, God, we have. I'm digressing more.
That's okay.
We are so weak as people. I mean,
no,
human.
We're I think people just like routine and pattern. So I think it's innovative.
We used to go out in the morning with a spear and three other guys to try to, like, kill dinner. And now, like, and hopefully we did.
Mark
like,
still does. You're like...
you know, the airplane...
Wait.
The Wi-Fi's been a little slow
I just
around here the last couple of days. Oh, my God.
We need to compare Rochester here to Boston because you're going to a butcher, right? You've got your best friend, the butcher. He's going out and killing his own meat. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm still relying on a middleman for a lot of that work, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Not really to make the statement. So, great experience. You guys have been using the Achievers platform over there at
World Travel Holdings. Yep. Again, we've been with the company, Achievers, for 3 years.
Nice.
So, I think we launched in May. I think the first Achievers was in October that year. So
no one's paid you to come up here and say how great they are, have they? You don't have a plan. I did give you
not
a
yet,
idea.
Right?
Couple right. of
they
them over
them
there.
Beer.
No,
awesome.
I don't need to get paid to say it.
Mark, thank you for coming up here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Great to meet you. See me after the show. I'll get you hooked up with the Boston Red Sox guy.
I love
so
it.
We can make some things happen. VIP treatment, hopefully.
I like
yeah,
it.
At least VIP.
I'm promising
treatment, right?
things I have no ability to promise you, by the way. Oh yeah, we'll get you a VIP set up this anyway.
Can you get me to be Wally?
Oh, he's got a
character. Yeah, I got a background now.
I'll
all right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun? Like, just for a day. Let him be Wally for a day. We could start an online petition. We'll all sign it.
I love it.
Let's
awesome.
Do it. We'll
Mark,
make a video.
Thank you. Big hand for Mark. Coming up. Being part of the show. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Great to meet you. Let's take a quick breath here.
quick reset. How are we doing? Oh, I guess a new mic? All right.
Going to switch out? Okay.
Yeah, thank you. All right, are we doing all right? All right, better. Thank you.
Okay.
Trish, this has been fun. We got about 11 minutes left in the show?
Yeah, 11 minutes left.
HR Happy Hour 190, live from Achievers Ace. This has been fantastic. I love this. I feel like, though, in the room, I don't know, where are we at? About 60-40 with people like, yeah, I'm having a good time, and other 40 are like, eh, the bar's still open. Hey, you know what? That's a win either way, though, right?
I'll take that. I love having an audience. I feel like it's like better than Jimmy Fallon. Like, I love watching Jimmy Fallon, right? Because he's always engaged with the audience. This is good.
I know.
Next time
we do this, we'll have to do like an audience participation
bit where
we go out into the audience.
So many ideas.
And
I know, right?
Skits
this
or something,
good.
And maybe
oh,
10 or 12
oh,
of you can
come
to my house on the next show and just sit behind me on the couch while I do the show.
Right. Anybody in the St. Louis area are going to be through St. Louis, come
fun.
To my house, and we'll do it live, right? We'll
yeah, it'd be fun. So,
great.
We have one more guest who wants to come on
we
and
do.
Just say hi. So let's bring her up.
Come on up.
This is awesome. I love how we're getting great participation. Hi, Anne. Great to see you. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do. It should still be on.
Hello?
Yeah, that sounds like
So my name's Anne. I work at FDT. We are the Canadian Regional Office of First American Title.
Oh, very good.
Anybody in title insurance?
I have to ask, Anne, why didn't you go with First Canadian Title then?
We were First Canadian Title,
right.
But we rebranded a few years ago because
I'm
we are
changing everybody's name.
We are more
nobody
than,
asked me, but
we are more than just title insurance.
That
so
could have been
why.
Your tagline. We are more than just a never mind.
I'll tell marketing when I get back to you.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be glad to hear from you. Go ahead,
Anne. So I've been with the company a little over 12 years now, and just in terms of reskilling and upskilling and changing, I started off recruiting as well. So
there you go.
Like
okay.
Right?
And then my career, I also have a diploma in journalism, so writing is a passion of mine. And I have to say, before we go ahead, the reason I'm here is because I follow you on Twitter, and you're
all
like,
right.
Oh,
right. I am.
Oh, I get to go meet you in person. So
I am.
That's why I'm here.
It's quite something, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
So start off in recruitment,
well, here,
and then
I'll take a picture while you're talking.
Okay.
There we go.
Don't mind me. I'm the photographer.
And then the HR business partner role, and then now I've moved into an internal comms piece, because when you look at engagement, engaging.
Here, get
heart.
Close, because
right,
we'll tweet that you met. There you go. Oh, look at this. So good. Oh, God. That's
there
perfect.
We go.
Okay. Back to
you, just when you talk about engaging employees' hearts and minds, communication always comes up. Everyone talks about communication, and a lot of times communication means an email in a lot of organizations. Well, we need to communicate, so let's send an email. But it's so much more than that. There really has to be a really holistic communication strategy.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm interested in. We've had the Achievers platform for about 2.5 years now. I'm the program admin, and we love the program, and the instant recognition and sharing of stories really gets people going. I also oversee the engagement survey, so all of those things residing within, we call ourselves the employee experience department, but all of those things residing within the employee experience.
People experience.
So having all of the, being able to see the employee sat scores and then being able to say, okay, well, what are we going to do with these scores? And then putting strategies in place.
I'm a strategy guy. It's a culture strategy talent.
Yeah, so strategies in place to address the gaps from the survey. So my career now is really more sort of project-based, but still within HR. So I still am part of the HR employee experience team. And, again, just the internal communications piece. In some organizations, it resides on its own. Sometimes it's with marketing. In our organization, it resides in employee experience.
You've done a ton of work in this area, like in your life, too.
But
right?
You certainly you need a close relationship with marketing to keep it fun and interesting and to have those relationships. So that's kind of my story.
Well, and I think, too, when I started my career, I never would have thought I would do anything with marketing. I absolutely did not think I'd do anything with technology. I mean, even 5 or 6 years ago, if you had said, you're going to be writing and doing radio shows and you're going to be analyzing, research on technology, I would have said you're absolutely out of your mind, So I think it changes really quickly, too. And you have to be willing to be agile and change with it, right? So if you're saying you've got writing skills and you enjoy doing that, it makes sense that you would go into working with communications and marketing and how that works with the employees. And so.
And I think a big piece, too, we talk about, reskilling yourself. It's really how well have you adopted technology? I follow people on Twitter.
Right.
I don't actually tweet.
I
haven't taken that leap.
I will
because, again, being in an internal comms role, people expect that you are social. I will admit I don't have a Facebook account. I just haven't gone there yet.
That's all hype. Never catch on.
But certainly technology is such a big piece of communication and engaging employees because, you know, maybe they don't have time when they're actually at work to see what's
Look,
going on, but after they can.
I have that in one of my notes, right? This
what
is one I'm going to show. I'm going to show Anne the thing I have in my notes.
I have to put
this
on.
This was in one of my notes is maybe something we would talk about today. Read right there, Anne.
Oh,
about upskilling. Read it. Go read it.
I have an Instagram account for talent acquisition. Are you engaging employees, candidates, and alumni in the manner and using the technology they feel comfortable using?
Right. That's
well,
part of
a big aha
things,
for
right?
me yesterday was around Glassdoor. And using that to your advantage and not being afraid, uh-oh, better go see what's on Glassdoor
right,
or rate my employer
right.
because what are people saying? It's like, oh, we need to take control of that and be proactive.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so that was
well,
really
to me, I think good communication, even in an organization or just even personally, is about reaching the people where they are, not where you are. So you might not feel comfortable tweeting, or you might not feel a need for Facebook, but your personal thing might be Instagram or something else. That's that one thing. I think the biggest thing I hear when I talk to HR leaders or HR professionals coming up in the career is they feel like it's so overwhelming so I can't do any of it. And I always tell them just pick one thing and just do that one thing. And when I've had a team, I've said the same thing. I just need one of you on Twitter. I don't need everybody on Twitter.
Right.
If you are, that's fine. But and one of them watching Facebook and one of them on Glassdoor and one of them. And then when we come together, you're getting sort of that big picture look at how the organization is being communicated about both internally and externally. So, yeah, you don't have to tweet. But you can retweet the picture.
You can,
though. Tweet
you
up
can.
You.
Hold up the microphone. Sorry, what's your Twitter account name?
Oh, it's Corpe Diem.
Oh,
like
clever.
Because I have a wellness and fitness passion as well, like the core, you know.
That's
so.
Catchy. Okay, everybody got that? Corpe Diem if you're on Twitter.
Follow me.
Let's try to, like, turn
that's
that into, like, the most virally followed account
oh
of the day.
God.
That'd be cool.
That's good. Okay, so
that.
everybody
we'll
here at ACE has to follow.
Times.
Yeah, or if you're listening on the replay.
Yeah.
On iTunes.
Check the archive on iTunes.
Right?
So, yeah, we should probably make sure folks who are – absolutely here in the room at least, you know, we've got some lock-in audience maybe, you know, maybe that can find us later on and
right.
catch up on the replays as well. So
exactly.
Great, and super to meet you.
Thanks,
Anne. Thank you for coming. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right, good big hand for Anne. All right, we have like
three minutes.
3 minutes left to go. Let's just wind it down, I think, and reflect. Can we?
Sure.
Can we just take a
go
second?
Right ahead.
Take a deep breath. This is when I like someone else to talk, so I can have a sip of
song. Oh, that was me talking. Oh,
or anybody
see, I
else.
Thought you
anybody else who's involved?
No. What about? I mean, why don't we throw it back to the audience? Was there anything else that you really wanted to cover today that we weren't covering? I know we've kind of been all over the place a little bit. Anything specific that you came to the session in mind to learn more about?
Want a better host next time?
I'm accepting applications for hosts. Right.
Well, you know, I think it's cool. I mean, we try. And thanks to Achievers, by the way. And Sarah Bass in particular for inviting us to do this, right? It's a little bit of a different kind of a session. It's not, you know, your typical, hey, let's get, you know, 10 tips to improve employee engagement, which, hey, look, that's important stuff. I'm not knocking that. If anyone's getting up there to go, hey, I'm about to present 10 tips for engagement, you jerk, you know.
Talk to us afterwards. We have that too, right?
So this is a little different. What we have tried to do with the show, you know, from way back, right, is to create an opportunity and a forum and another engagement platform, much like, right, we've talked for a couple of days about Achievers as an engagement platform inside organizations. What we try to do with the HR Happy Hour show is to create a mechanism and a forum and an engagement platform for everybody who's interested in these topics, right? So, you know, it doesn't always go completely as planned, right? And sometimes we, like, get a little off the rails a little bit. Sometimes I try to re-architect people's job titles on the fly without knowing anything.
Sometimes it's more formal. I mean, sometimes we interview authors, or, you know, you've had Dave Ulrich on the show. So it's a little bit of everything. Some shows are more like this, a little more on the fly. You call him Dave?
Yeah.
That's good. Did you retitle him?
When I was talking, I had a quick chance to have a conversation with the Moneyball guy, Billy Beane.
Yeah.
Billy Beane, right? He was presenting at an event I was at and got, you know, it was that typical afterwards, you know, and he was telling some story about Brad Pitt, and he goes, yeah, so I was talking to Brad, and then he looks at all this and he goes, and it, very deadpan, he goes, well, I call him Brad because I know him. To you, he's Brad Pitt, you know, and he's just like, and then didn't even smile or crack a joke. I don't know if it was a joke or not. Like
we
sure know you
not.
Know Brad
know
Pitt.
Know
Everybody's
Brad
seen
Pitt.
The movie,
right.
pal. But there was something I was going to say after that.
I have no idea where you're going with that. You shouldn't have had the second beer, clearly. It's like
one
really in the afternoon.
I didn't get through it. It's hot up here under the light.
It is. It's a little, yeah, it's a little
so
heated.
Really cool, real quick before we wind down, HR Happy Hour show. 90 seconds to go. Thank you. We've been doing it, you know, since 2009. We'd love for you to catch up the show. A couple ways to catch it out. If you have iTunes, Apple products, just go to the podcast section. Search for HR Happy Hour. It goes out every time we do a show. Subscribe. It'll get right into your iTunes ear. It's free. If you have Android devices, there's a couple of apps you can use. The best one's probably called Stitcher Radio, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R Radio. Same thing. Search HR Happy Hour. All the episodes go out to Stitcher. And we have a website, hrhappyhour.net, where we keep updated. All the links to all the archives are there as well. We'd love for you guys to catch the show, participate, ideas for guests. You want to be a guest? You want to come on? You've seen what it's like. It's usually about like this. This is a pretty typical
show,
right?
Yeah.
And come on and join the fun. We'd love to have you. And anyway, we'll hang around for a while after the show to get a chance to talk to folks. Anyone wants to say hi and learn more about the show. And anyway.
So you've got your last few seconds. You normally say where we're going to be next.
Where are
we
going to be next?
Where are we going to be next? Well, clearly you're going to be somewhere tomorrow, right?
I'm going to Washington tomorrow to talk about talent and
you didn't
culture
say,
and
normally
strategy.
We do this at the top, too. We say where we've been,
right?
So I just flew in from London. I was a week in London doing HR Tech Tank and training. And so
10 seconds.
Go, right? It'll still keep going.
No, it'll
That's
keep
the
going.
Trick
it
you
does
don't
keep going.
Know.
But,
yeah.
So we've been around. I'm going to Washington tomorrow, then ADP event next week. Who cares? The big thing for me is the HR Tech Conference coming up. I'd love anybody's out at the HR Tech Conference in Las Vegas. Please
come
say hi to me. I'll be
the
guy sort of welcoming everybody wearing the suit, you know.
He'll look just like this.
I'll look like this, probably the same suit. But come to see me there as well. So
and we have a session. We should say that. We are doing a session.
Yes.
We're doing a more formal, real session, less casual, with CHROs at HR Technology Conference. So if you happen to be there, it's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking with some of the top.
You think the CHROs are going to roll as flexibly as we are here?
I don't think we're going to be able to do that with the CHROs.
They should. I hope they will. All right.
All right, good.
I think we're done. Thanks, everyone,
Thank
for being here. I really appreciate it. Thank you.